Chapter 17. While the five incubi were distracted from the smashing of the crystals, I grabbed one of the demon's heads with my hands and forced my infernal tempest to rage across my palms. The incubus winced, his piercing black eyes closed, and I forced more lightning bolts to enter his brain. Then he let out a harrowing cry, and so did the other incubi around him. But none of them could touch me due to the flames that coated my skin. I tightened my grip as my greed to destroy my prey heightened, and then I finally felt the incubus's skull begin to shatter inside his head. A torturous scream left the bastard's mouth and cut straight through my ears, and I reveled in his pain as I continued to squeeze until streams of blue blood began to pour from the incubus's orifices. The gashes across the demon's head deepened until his skin practically tore open, and with one final bolt of lightning, his brain exploded and splattered against the wall. Then I dropped the bastard demon to the ground, and I turned my attention to the other four. They all had the same wild-eyed expressions on their faces, and one of the incubi shot out his arm and tried to catch me by my hair. But I allowed the flames on my body to grow, and as soon as the incubus's long, bony fingers reached my hair, his hand began to burn from the blistering heat of the fire. "Ah!" he shrieked in pain. "Motherfucker!" The rest of his team stepped closer toward me, but I kept my eyes to the ground so I didn't fall into their traps once again. I paid close attention to their blood-red and curling toenails, and the dirt that coated their feet from the cave. Dirty fucking incubi. But then, an idea came to my mind, one I hadn't thought of before, and something I was eager to try out. I forced the flames on my head to grow, and within seconds, my entire face was covered in fire. I could still see through the bright orange threads of the flames, and while my sight wasn't as clear as it normally was, I could make out the terrified expressions on the incubi's faces. I could just imagine how I appeared to them as this continuous ball of fire I'd become, but more importantly, the incubi could no longer look me directly in the eye. I was immune to their powers. "So, who's next?" I asked, with my heavy, demonic voice. My taunting made the incubi even more angry, and they hissed and snapped their spiked jaws, but I could tell they were fucking terrified. I wanted to relish in the fury I caused them, and the fact that they knew we'd won already, and there wasn't much else they could do now that my eyes were totally covered. As I chuckled at their weaknesses, I created another fireball in my palms, and then threw it straight at the incubi. Through the orange haze in front of my eyes, I saw them dodge it wildly once more, and their angry snarls continued to slip from their lips. I was cornered against the wall, with the four incubi crowded around me and constantly looking for an opening, and in order to fully overpower them, I had to aim for more of the damn crystals. As another fireball formed in one hand, my infernal tempest arced through the other, and once the fireball had been thrown, I slammed my tempest hand against the wall once again. The satisfying sound of crystals shattering into tiny pieces followed immediately after, and I repeated the strike twice more to shatter every crystal to my right. The incubi let out guttural groans, and they hunched over as their powers weakened even more. Then I smashed another crystal while my hand was still firmly against the wall, and I aimed for the incubi once again. My next fireball split the four into groups of two, and I worked on them that way. I sent fireballs in the direction of one group, and as I batted away their bony hands as they attempted to grab me, the smirk on my face widened when I heard their pained cries. The mouth-watering scent of their burned flesh filled the air, and it only made me even more eager to continue. Then I used the lightning bolts on the other group instead, and when I smashed my fist against one of the incubi, the force from the hit sent him flying across the cave. The incubus smashed into one of the walls, and he fell to the ground in a heap that I'd deal with in a moment. For now, the sudden smashing of crystals caught my attention, and as the three incubi before me started to lower to the ground, I glanced over to the front of the cave and noticed what had caused the new distraction. I had been so caught up with my own incubi that I hadn't had the chance to check in on Ash and Sevilia, but I saw that another six of the incubi were all floating in the air, and Sevilia's glowing eyes were aimed straight at them. The Red Witch had managed to manipulate the incubi with her own mind control, and as her eyes kept them captive in the air, Sevilia used her hands to smash the crystals around us. A red mist formed in her palms and snaked its way toward the walls, and the crystals smashed on impact with the slightest touch of the mist. Ash was nowhere to be found, but from the amount of shadows that already littered this dingy cave, I knew she was hiding somewhere. Two of the incubi laid in a pile on the ground with venomous lacerations all over them, and they were clearly long dead by now. The other three were struggling to overcome their weakness from the lack of crystals as they searched the darkness for Ash, and I caught a brief and sinister chuckle echoing not far behind them. I'd never been so proud of my women, and I couldn't wait for the celebrations to begin as soon as we had slaughtered all of the incubi. But before that could happen, I still had the rest of my group to defeat. It was clear that the incubi were trying to fight through the added weakness from the moans and splutters they let out, and I snickered at the sight of the easy targets fumbling before me. Then I slammed my fist into the gut of one of the incubi and added a fireball into the mix, which grew wildly. The fucker screamed, but his stomach was far too encased in flames, so no matter how much he attempted to batter them out, the blaze continued. As the flaming incubus cried out with blistering squeals, I grabbed the other two incubi by their throats, and I forced both of my hell powers to merge into one as I cut off their air supply and destroyed their flesh in the process. The bastards gasped for breath and attempted to twist their bodies out of my grasp, but I was far stronger than they were. All it took was for me to tighten my hands ever so slightly, and the incubi's brains ripped out. Then I was covered from head to toe in blue blood and brain matter, and the incubi's black eyes rolled back into their shattered heads. I let go of the destroyed demons, kicked them to the side, and finished off my final two incubi. I went for the one on the ground first, who had been thrown against the wall. The weakness from the lack of crystals, mixed with the powerful punch to his gut, had been enough to rid the incubus of all his energy, and he hadn't even sat up from the ground yet. I had a few ideas of how I wanted to end his life, whether I went for the same technique as the others and made his brain explode, or I tried something new and exciting. But in the end, I decided his death had to be quick, yet brutal. I placed one foot against the incubus's head, pressed down hard on his skull, and as the incubus moaned and tried to free his head from the pressure of my foot, I created a giant fireball in each hand. Then I threw them down onto the demon's stomach. The embers blistered over his flesh in a giant orange burst, and the motherfucker began to scream as the flames slowly melted his skin. His shrieks became more high-pitched the longer I kept him pinned there, and just as they reached an eardrum-shattering octave, I crushed his skull under my boot. Then I turned to my final prey, the incubus I'd punched with a flaming fist. The flames were now radiating across his stomach and up his chest, so he'd be the easiest fucking fight I had all day. I could have quite happily left him there to burn to ashes, but there was no satisfaction in that, and I was eager to see the light and life vanish from his piercing black eyes. I forced the lightning to return to my hands as I headed back over to the incubus, grabbed him by the back of the head, and then allowed the surges to do their job. The incubus was already close to death, so it only took a matter of seconds for his brain to fry and for his burned, crispy body to collapse into a heap. But the puff of flaky ash and smoke he let off on impact was enjoyable in its own way. Shit, I chuckled to myself. Fucking turned to dust. Then I spun around and murderous energy swelled in my veins as I took in the incredible sight of the cave. The fight wasn't over, and there were still a few incubi to destroy, but Ash had managed to defeat 4 out of her 6 incubi, and Sevilia still had a few to defeat too, but it looked like my deadly women didn't need my help. Ash used her infernal darkness to hide in the shadows, and then she'd swipe her venomous claws through the incubi's skin while they prowled after her. She was like a lethal kitten playing her favorite game, and I snickered at the little giggles I heard from her every now and then. Sevilia, on the other hand, didn't even need to touch the incubi in order to kill them. She continued to destroy the crystals with her red mist, but she also used her telekinesis to constrict the incubi's throats. A crash of thunder crackled in the sky outside the cave, followed quickly by a bolt of lightning as the rain continued to pour and pounded against the rocks of the cliffside. The weather only amplified the intensity of my drive to destroy all in my path, and it fed into my own inner tempest as I watched my deadly lovers fight and kill their prey. I didn't want to stand back and watch Ash and Sevelia have all the fun, but I also didn't want to take their kills away from them, so I aimed for the crystals instead. With my saber in one hand, I sprinted up and down the cave like a flaming titan on a warpath, and I smashed every fucking formation I came across. The incubi's weakened groans and cries filled the compact space, and I heard the manic laughter that came from Ash and Sevelia through it all. I made sure to destroy every crystal I could see, and without their advantage, the incubi soon became immobile targets for my women. Ash no longer needed to create and hide in the shadows, and Sevelia called back the red mist and worked with just her eyes alone. I could have sat there and watched them fight all day, but it didn't seem like much time had passed before Ash took her final swing, and Sevelia constricted her final victim. 16 incubi laid strewn across the cave, all of them dead, bloodied, and some even ripped in two. It was another sight I was going to keep in my mind for eons to come. The flames left my face as soon as I was certain all the incubi had been destroyed, and my women instantly trotted over to throw their arms around me.
"Fuck, that was incredible!"
Sevelia cheered as she and Ash collided with me.
"I've never felt anything like this before!"
"Better than the priest?"
"It's... I..."
the Red Witch stuttered.
"I don't know, I can't compare them!"
Ash and I laughed at Sevelia's ecstatic expression, but I understood where she was coming from, especially since Sevelia hadn't taken part in many fights like this before now. It was the start of a whole new life for my beautiful witch, and I could already tell she was going to excel in it.
"You were amazing with your mind control. And Atticus, those flames, fuck."
"I also noticed your infernal darkness. How did that feel?"
"It was the strangest thing,"
Ash said with a dreamy sigh.
"It was like... one second I was deciding how to kill these assholes, and the next I was floating through the air. I don't even recall the transformation, but it was so fucking cool."
"You were both amazing," I smiled. "And we can discuss every little detail once we've destroyed the evidence."
"I love this part,"
Sevelia responded at once. "So do I," I grinned. Ash, Sevelia, and I spent the following few minutes tearing the incubi limb from limb, and we created a giant pile of death in the center of the cave. The incubi's blue blood coated every surface, and the shattered crystals laid across the pools like stars in the night sky. And it really was one of the more satisfying slaughters I'd taken part in lately.
"Now it's time for my favorite bit,"
Ash giggled as she threw the final leg onto the pile. "If I may," I said, with my hands ignited with flames.
"There is nothing more satisfying than watching our enemies burn. I thought nothing could have topped the priest's death, but I've been proven wrong."
"Oh, just you wait. Your lust for devouring the most vile creatures of this world will only grow with time. Eventually, the satisfaction of a slaughter like this will come second only to the satisfaction Atticus gives us in his bed."
"I love it when you talk dirty," I snickered, and I sent my demon lover an appreciative grin. Then I planted my hands on the slaughtered bodies, and I worked my way around the pile as the fire continued to grow and blossom in the darkness. The rotten scent of the incubi mixed with their burning flesh, and the two together concocted an aroma that was so powerful and mouth-watering, saliva pooled on my tongue. As soon as the fire had completely consumed the incubi, the three of us left the cave and climbed back up the cliff edge to solid ground. A thick cloud of gray smoke billowed from the cave below, and I couldn't fight the grin that spread from one ear to the other. Our bodies were quickly soaked by the pouring rain, and the trees offered no shelter. My clothes stuck to me like a second skin while my women's cleavage glistened with demon blood and rain, and I laughed toward the clouds as thunder rippled around the atmosphere.
"I wonder what the Shadow Quarter's residents will think when they hear about this,"
Sevelia snickered as we began to walk through the forest.
"I bet none of them would give a damn."
"I know of a few people who will be just as ecstatic as we are."
"The mermaids and the tabaxi, for sure,"
Ash smiled.
"Do you think we should go and visit the mermaids? We could announce their newly found freedom."
"Yeah, I think we should," I nodded and rifled my wet hair off my forehead. I'm also interested to see if they're still up for joining us on our voyage.
I hope they haven't changed their minds about joining our team. We need deadly beauties like them on our side. From the way they looked at Atticus, I'm certain the mermaids are still very much interested. They'll also be interested in getting him in the water, I bet. I guess we'll see what happens.
Ash smirked. We continued through the trees as the women joked about me getting in the water with the mermaids. The energy was high, and the aftermath of the incubi slaughter had caused euphoric feelings to buzz around the air. I wasn't even concerned about coming across unwanted creatures in the trees. Even if a demon from the hellscape had arrived there and then, it would have been one extra body to add to the flames. And if it meant my satisfaction could continue to rage, then I'd take on that demon without a second thought. And I'd take his hell power from him, too. It took no time at all to reach the cliff edge by Cove, and I peered over the side to make sure the mermaids were still there, which they were. Some were playing around in the choppy sea, and others were lying blissfully on the rocks, and I noticed at least one mermaid in the cave, but there could have been more than that. Due to the heavy rainfall, the rocks were more slippery than they had been yesterday, which wasn't an issue for Ash and I, but Sevelia took her time and made sure her hands and feet were stable before she took another step.
"Will you catch me if I fall?"
the witch asked, with a look of uncertainty.
"You won't fall, I promise."
"But if you were to slip, we'll be sure to catch you," I added. Despite how she may have felt, Sevelia scaled the wall perfectly and without any issues. Ash and I watched her from down below, but Sevelia only had a few more steps before she'd reached the ground. We guided her as best we could and helped the witch blindly feel around for where to place her feet, and then Sevelia jumped the rest of the way when she was only a step from the ground.
"See?"
Ash asked, as she slipped one arm around Sevelia's shoulders.
"It wasn't that bad, right? Oh, I found it easier the more I went. But I'm sure I'll be just like you with some more practice."
Ash and I were expected to constantly be scaling walls and cliffs when we hunted our prey for the Dark King. This is new to you, and you are a mortal, so it's only natural that you'd find it challenging.
"I don't think my mortality has anything to do with it,"
Sevelia said a little curtly.
"It's no surprise that I'm not used to this sort of thing. There weren't many walls to scale in the hovel."
Ash snorted at the woman's huffy expression, and I smirked while I considered this as well. "Sevelia, does it bother you that I call you a mortal?"
"It doesn't,"
the Red Witch said unconvincingly, and I grinned a bit more. "Yes, it does, but it shouldn't." Sevelia cocked a purple eyebrow as I strolled over to her, and I roughly caught her around the waist to pull her close. The Red Witch gasped from the force of my grip, but she giggled and gazed up at me, and I waited until a blush bloomed on her cheeks. Then I brought my lips to her neck, and I lightly bit down on her tender flesh. "I happen to love that you're mortal," I growled against her golden skin. "You're soft in all of the best ways."
"Soft?"
I purred, and I felt her going limp in my hold. "And sinfully sweet." Sevelia let out a shaky sigh as I pulled away from her, and I could tell by the glint in her amber eyes that she very much understood my stance on the matter now.
"Then I suppose I don't mind so much."
"Good," I chuckled, and I reached down to give her ass a light spank through her red dress. "Now, let's go see about some mermaids." Sevelia and Ash both sent me devious smiles, and then I turned to lead my women toward the shore. We crossed the small pool of water that sat in between us and the cove, and the angry waves crashed against the rocks ahead while the howling of the wind whirled around us. As soon as we stepped onto the rocks, the mermaids caught notice of our presence, and they instantly jumped up to see us. They came from the blackened corners of their rocky home and strolled right through the storm as if the wind and rain were nothing, and I grinned at their steady strides and drenched dresses.
"You have returned!"
one of the mermaids called out from the thrashing waves.
"And so soon!"
a second joined in. "We said we would return, and we stick to our promises." The leader, Naya, and her second-in-command, Serena, left the cover of their cave, and they stood in front of the crowd of mermaids while rain pelted their bare arms and faces.
"Welcome back."
Naya smiled at all three of us.
"We're pleased to see your return. Your clothes tell me that you've been in a fight,"
Serena added, with a pointed look and a smile.
"Does that mean what I think it means?"
I glanced over at Sevelia and Ash in turn, and I didn't miss the glint of pride in their eyes as they looked out at the group of murderous fish women. "The incubi have been defeated," I informed the mermaids. "We are here to announce that you are free from their slavery." Every single woman in the cove began to jump and squeal in joy. They hugged each other and smiled brightly in my direction, and the ones in the water splashed around before they climbed onto land to join in with the celebrations.
Thank you, Atticus,
Naya said, with raw emotion in her voice.
I cannot explain how much this means to us. Our kind are not meant to be chained as we have been by the incubi in their powers. You have given us our lives back. I do not know how I can describe this feeling in a way you can understand.
Trust me, I can relate. I snorted, and the leader's bright blue eyes seemed to warm a bit as she gazed at me with a soft smile on her face. That's when I realized she looked different from the last time I'd seen her. She was still in need of healing, and I wished I could feed her 3 times as much as she'd been eating lately, but already she looked healthier. Naya's orange hair wasn't quite so dull, and her skin shimmered even in the stormy light. Her bright blue eyes looked fearsome with her wild hair blowing behind her, and I was struck by how strong she already appeared. It was as if this one day out of the incubi's clutches had renewed her to some extent, or maybe her kind were even more resilient than I'd guessed. Either way, it pleased me to see Naya and her mermaid so happy, and that feeling doubled at the realization that I had been the one to give them this.
And now that we are free,
Naya continued, once her mermaids calmed down a little,
we are free to follow your guidance, Atticus.
If that is something you're still after, I started to say, but the blue-eyed mermaid instantly cut me off.
Absolutely. We love nothing more, and we can already tell how much better our lives will be from now on. I'm certain that you will take such great care of us all. You'll never find anyone who could care for you better than Atticus cares for us,
Sevelia assured the woman.
Which is exactly what we want,
Serena responded and stepped closer, and her brown eyes burned with a wild sort of devotion as she looked at me.
Someone to care for and love us as we truly are, and not just feed off our abilities. Someone who can appreciate our vicious sides while also...
Serena trailed off like she suddenly realized how honest she was being, and I smiled a little, but then Naya finished for her.
While also understanding what we need most, and what we thrive on,
the blue-eyed leader murmured, and her gaze slid over my chest and down my torso. I can assure you that I put my women first, I said, as I let my own gaze roam over Naya's shimmering and sculpted body. If you are good to me, then I will be good to you.
We can be good to you,
one of the mermaids said coyly from her spot by the water.
Perhaps you'd like to come for a swim, and I can show you just how good I can be.
I couldn't help but laugh at the mischievous look on the mermaid's face, especially after the conversation Ash, Sevelia, and I had shared on the way over here. These women really would try anything to get us in the water, but I had a feeling they weren't looking to try and rip me to shreds. Maybe I'll join you for a swim tomorrow, I replied with a roguish grin. For now, I don't quite have the time.
Yes, Atticus has to take us home,
Sevelia said in a flirtatious tone.
But when he's finished caring for us, he'll be sure to return and show you the same affection. I'll hold you to that promise.
The mermaid winked. Then Naya chuckled, and the sound was almost lyrical to my ears. It was interesting to see the difference in the leader's attitude toward her mermaids today. She had appeared fairly stern with them yesterday, when she was still in the incubi's clutches, but now Naya laughed along with her mischievous mermaids, and her smile was far brighter than anyone else's. But there was also a fierceness about her, even while she smiled, and I was suddenly eager to see what this band of vicious beauties was like at their full potential. Now that I had them firmly on my side, it could only make everything so much more interesting in the coming days. I assume you'll still be willing to help us out on our journey across the water.
Of course,
Naya replied, and bowed her head to me.
Especially if it means we can see you again,
Serena added bashfully.
But there is one condition.
Naya smirked, and her blue eyes flicked up to mine.
If we help you across the ocean, does that mean we can stay with you and follow you wherever you go?
As soon as we know where we're going, I'll be sure to find you a place to live. I expect you to stay close by, despite where we travel, so that condition is a given. The mermaids continued to cheer and giggle over the news, and they splashed water at one another and curled up on the rugged rocks, with their arms around each other. Ash and Sevelia both laughed as they took in the wild-haired and soaking wet celebration in front of us, and I was right there with them. I could definitely get used to spending my time with the mermaids.
Thank you, Atticus,
one green-haired mermaid sighed.
Yes, you have really saved our lives,
a second added.
We cannot wait to see you all again soon.
A third giggled with a large grin that showed off her bright white teeth. Well, we must leave you for now, but we'll be sure to return when things have been sorted. Naya, I expect you to take good care of these girls while I'm away. They need to restore their health, you as well. I want to see you at your strongest very soon.
Yes, Atticus, anything you wish.
The blue-eyed mermaid instantly replied, and when I cocked an eyebrow, she blushed a soft pink. I grinned as I studied her striking face for a moment, and after the woman held my gaze for a few long seconds, I offered my arm to Sevelia. Ash took my other arm as we turned away to cross the tidal pool, and the mermaids we passed all smiled, while some even blew sweet kisses to us. Sevelia found climbing up the cliff was easier than descending it, and the witch remained a step behind me and Ash as we jumped from rock to rock.
That went better than I expected,
Sevelia snickered, once we were all back on top of the cliff.
I thought they were still going to have angry expressions. I knew they would act differently. Women as vicious as them don't shy away from embracing what they want, and the mermaids are clearly infatuated with Atticus. Not to mention they needed our help more than anything.
And we will give them that help. From here on out, whatever the mermaids need or want, we'll be sure to give it to them. They have helped us with the information on the incubi, and they are eager to put their talents to good use.
Of course.
Sevelia nodded.
We care for those who care for us.
Exactly. I agreed with a grin.
And I think the mermaids will be very, very eager to care for Atticus.
Ash purred, and batted her pink and black eyes at me.
Yes, well, we'll have to make sure he reserves some of his energy for them as well as us.
Oh, I think we all know I've got more than enough energy for all of you and more. I chuckled, and the women giggled as I let my demon voice slip through my smoky fangs. We headed along the path back in the direction of Medusa's palace, but as much pride and excitement as I felt about finally being free to leave rang free, I also felt a slight sense of pressure when it came to timing. There was still a lot to do before we could head out on our voyage to new lands, and I had to visit the werewolves and ask them to seek out a large enough vessel for us to use. Not only did we have to collect our pieces and valuable belongings, but I also had to find someone who could take over the business and care for the imps the way they deserve to be treated. There were still a few options in my head of who should take over the business, and as we continued through the forest, I thought about each individual person and the traits they would bring to the table. But I also thought about the inevitable fact that some other group would come into power in the Shadow Quarters now that the incubi were gone, and I realized the outcome there mattered quite a lot to me. I didn't burn up all those filthy fuckers just so the damn orcs could take their place. I furrowed my brow as I considered all the ways I'd become entangled in this city since I'd arrived on the surface world, but the battling in my head was instantly interrupted as Ash came to a sudden halt beside me. Her black and pink eyes were wide open, and she had a serious look on her face.
Listen.
That was when I heard it. It was incredibly faint, and I couldn't fully work out what I was hearing, but as well as the noises, there was a faint scent of evil and despair in the wind. And it was coming from the direction of the port. Can you work out who owns that smell? I asked Ash.
No.
She frowned.
It's a mix of a few people, I think, but I can't place any of them.
I peered over at Sevelia and noticed the look of confusion that she wore while she tried to decide what she was hearing. We'll check it out. It's best to know who's here and what's going on.
You're right,
Ash said with a nod.
Without the incubi around, we need to act like the protectors of the Shadow Quarters.
I muttered, but I couldn't deny that's exactly how I felt.
Not that the incubi really protected anyone, but they would have checked it out, probably. Fuck the incubi.
Ash snorted and started walking again. Instead of taking the path that led to Medusa's palace, we changed our route and headed toward the ports. The sounds got louder and louder as we stepped closer, but it was still difficult to work out the source. At one point, I thought I could hear an argument and men shouting, but then I heard the heavy clanging of chains and other metals.
Shit, Atticus. I recognize that scent.
I sniffed the air around me, and apart from the freshness of the pine and leaves in the forest, the only other scent was still the evil and despair from before. One added note jumped out at me, though, and I definitely recognized it from our battles in the past.
Oh, fuck, I think you're right.
What is it?
Sevelia frowned. the Blessed, I growled. Once we arrived at the cliff that overlooked the port, we all crouched down and peered over the edge. Just as I'd expected, 20 of the Blessed were down there, and they had other human men just behind them. There had to have been at least 10 of these other men, and they all wore regular mortal clothing, so I couldn't tell if they had a specific role or duty to play in this city, but they dragged a large, thick chain across the wooden planks of the port. I narrowed my violet eyes as I watched them work together to line the chains up and bar access to the docks, and that's when I knew for certain that the Blessed hadn't arrived at the port on a whim. From the looks of it, I didn't doubt they'd finally figured out that the priest was dead, and now the Blessed were on a mission they wouldn't abandon for anything, to find and destroy the priest's killer. They're blocking off the port.
What? Why?
Well, if the church knows someone has killed the priest, then there's probably no way the Blessed will allow anyone to leave or enter Rengfree. They're blocking every motherfucker they can into this port city until they find answers. Ash groaned quietly, but when I glanced sidelong at my demon lover, I recognized the wicked gleam in her pink and black eyes. It matched my own to a T.
But,
Sevilia mumbled,
if the Blessed are blocking off the port, then how are we ever going to leave? There's far too many down there for us to slip past.
Ash and I chuckled at the concern in the witch's tone. It may have been a terrifying thought for Sevilia, but it was nothing but pure excitement and an excellent challenge for me and Ash. Fear not, I said calmly. We have werewolves under our control, a large supply of orbs, plus all of our powers combined.
And don't forget the deadly swarm of mermaids. Those fishwomen are residing just over there, right behind the Blessed's backs, and I bet they'd love the chance of luring those holy fuckers to their deaths for Atticus.
Sevilia raised her eyebrows, but as I sent her a devilish grin, the Red Witch's lips slowly curled into a smile.
Well, when you put it like that, it does sound sort of fun.
Ash giggled. The three of us snickered as we turned our attention back to the port, and a swell of greed pulsed through my veins. Ah, look at those bastards, I muttered through my grin. Golden-eyed guard dogs who just think they can hunt in this city like they own the place. They'll tear through every undesirable they please, and the fucking church won't bat an eye about the blood on their holy hands.
Such a shame to see such evil go unpunished, Master.
It is, I agreed without hesitation. We'll have to see to this ourselves, I think, seeing as we're the only demons left in the city.
Oops.
The beautiful fiend giggled. My deadly lovers giggled some more as they shimmied closer to my sides, but while I gazed down on the chains barring the port, it wasn't my blocked exit that bothered me. It was the idea that once I did leave this place, the port of Rengfree would remain under these holy fuckers' control. Unless someone more powerful than the church came along to take it from them once and for all. Someone with no fear of the Holy King, no loyalty to the Dark King, and a growing army of minions at his back. End of Book 3.